Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Columbus City Council last month passed an ordinance that bans panhandlers from touching or following pedestrians and prohibits panhandlers from asking for money near ATMs and at highway ramps and intersections. The city has tried to regulate panhandling in the past, but last June, the city attorney's office determined that Columbus's law at the time violated First Amendment rights. Columbus Dispatch reporter Mark Ferenczik covers the issue. He joins us. Welcome back.
Thanks.
What's the problem with panhandling in Columbus? In 2016, 20 cases of aggressive panhandling were reported. In 2017, that number dropped to 8. I mean, it sounds like things have gotten better.
Right. So there really weren't a lot of cases that they were dealing with when they still had the old panhandling law. I mean, you have to witness aggressive panhandling to cite somebody for it. So the city, again,
law enforcement has to.
So again, last year, the city decided it couldn't enforce this law because of a Supreme Court decision. Basically, it was a First Amendment case where it ended up being that if you could talk about something on the corner, whatever it could be, you could be talking to somebody, arguing with somebody, but you couldn't ask for money, and that ran afoul of based on other cases in other cities, that ran afoul of the Supreme Court decision. So the city decided not to enforce it anymore. In the interim, though, there were still some concerned parties downtown in the Short North and other places concerned about aggressive panhandlers, where people would be would approach people for money, maybe touch them, maybe approach them near an ATM. Feel threatened, you know, people might feel threatened by them. So the city decided that they needed to, even though there are menacing laws already on the books and other things, they decided that they still needed to address panhandling without running afoul of the First Amendment. So one of the main things in this new ordinance is they use the term distribution. So it's not it's an act that people are involved in, not speech.
Okay.
So part of the law is that no person shall engage in distribution with the driver or occupant of a vehicle in the right-of-way. This term is used throughout the law, so it becomes more of a you can't do something rather than you can't say something. And the problem is police aren't sure how well they can enforce this because, again, they're going to have to catch people in the act. People are going to have to or officers are going to have to see a car stopped in the middle of the street and people walking up to the car for money there or on an off-ramp or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's problematic in that sense. However, again, people in the Short North and other places say that, you know, since the city stopped enforcing the panhandling issue, the Short North people say that they've seen an increase based on discussions and surveys they've done. Increased by 20% in the Short North and 150% along North High Street between 3rd and 5th Avenues. So they at least perceive that there was an issue. They went to the city, and the city council passed the ordinance.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the panhandling issue in Columbus. My guest is Mark Ferenczik. He's Columbus Dispatch reporter covering urban issues and neighborhoods. If you have a question or comment, what do you think about panhandling? Does it bug you? Have you had problems with it? Or do you think it's just a way that some people survive on the streets? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Mark, are we mostly talking about the Short North here?
We're talking a lot about the Short North. We're also talking about downtown. Also, people are seen on off-ramps on the freeways 71, 70, I-70.
Mm-hmm. 315.
315, yep. Sure, all over. What happens and has happened in the past, and that somebody just did this when I was parking in the Arena District for a concert a couple of weeks ago, was there was a gentleman who guides you into a parking spot.
Yeah.
And if you're from out of town, people might think that they're working for the parking company or the parking lot, and they're not. They're just, you know, folks looking
for trying to provide a service.
Trying to provide a service and maybe getting a tip and doing that. They've done that in the Short North, too, at parking meters and things like that. So it's generally around business areas, populated areas where there are lots of people going to and fro. Some people do feel threatened by panhandlers, even if they're not acting aggressively or they're made to feel uncomfortable. But again, it'll be interesting to see by the end of this year and certainly through an entire calendar year next year, how many people are actually charged or cited.
What kind of public education effort is out there? I mean, if we're on a couple levels, who is explaining to panhandlers what the law is?
There's the Capitol Crossroads Special Improvement District, for example.
And we're going to hear from them later on. Yeah,
downtown, right. So they also have an educational effort with people downtown and saying that, you know, do not give money to panhandlers or guide them somewhere else.
Against the law to give money to a panhandler.
In this case, again, if I'm on a sidewalk mm-hmm. and I'm giving money to a panhandler, no. If I'm part of this distribution in the middle of the street or on an off ramp, then but in terms of actually giving money to a panhandler, no, you're not running afoul of the law there.
Okay. Yeah. Peter in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Peter.
Hi, good afternoon or good morning.
Yep.
I don't know which it is yet. I do that security service for grocery stores and for Lowe's, and basically the problem being we have a lot of homeless people in the area. And they have to eat, you know. I'll give you an example. A lady comes walking on the property. Well, obviously, she's not a shopper. I watch her. She goes up to the door. She fishes out a cigarette, lights it up, smokes it. Then maybe she'll go in the back of the store, sneak in the back way where there's air conditioning. And, you know, you're a human being. You have a heart, even though that's your job, to stop those people. Occasionally, I'll give them a couple of bucks out of my own pocket. Because, you know, I don't go to church. But, you know, in the heat, it's the oppressive heat, mm-hmm. and you feel sorry for them. You know, that's the problem. We're sort of torn between the two things. But some of these people will actually follow a shopper into the store and wait till the lady goes down a different lane, row in the store, and then they will approach her child and ask her if she has a quarter. Now, that's pretty nasty. You know, we have to keep those out of Kroger's. I'm sorry. That's just not the way Kroger wants it, and I don't want it that way either.
Well, that's thoroughly against the law, though. That's private property, and it says no soliciting on the doors at most stores. But so that's where they cross the line for you, right, Peter?
Yes.
Yeah.
I just do my duty. I do what I'm told, and I warn them, please leave the property. We have no panhandling on this property. This is private property, mm-hmm. and you're not permitted to do that here.
Yeah.
Go across the street or go someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
I just push them off, and I don't call the police. Unless they get violent, then I call the police.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't escalate. That's the number one thing.
Is there a particular problem with violent panhandlers or aggressive panhandling?
Well, if you ask the police department, they'll tell you they know them by name.
Oh, okay.
Most of those people.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
There's a few. Peter, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We know that business owners along High Street in the Short North have complained about panhandlers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's a huge burgeoning residential population there as well,
right.
You know, on top of mm-hmm. the businesses. It's a big thing. It looks like, you know, a big city down there now.
Right.
Are they complaining too?
I believe so, yes. And actually, this gentleman just reminded me, he was talking about Lowe's and Kroger.
Yeah.
There have been concerns among some Southside community representatives, activists, about the Great Southern Shopping Center there where people have looking for money, will hang out around some of the fast food places down there, come in and approach people in some of the fast food places too, and had been concerned that the city wasn't doing enough to keep tabs on folks down there they didn't have enough of an enforcement mechanism. So, and that's another concern too, again, whether it be the Short North, whether there be residents or business owners that are concerned or whatever, is police have a lot to do in the city, and they're running from call to call, and they've got other more serious things to deal with. Are they really going to have time to enforce a panhandling ordinance?
So what if they do? I mean, how does the ordinance work? If somebody's aggressively panhandling, say they're standing by an ATM machine and soliciting people as they walk up to the machine, that is against this ordinance.
Right.
What happens then?
They're misdemeanor violations. So, you know, okay. You can be, you know, charged with a misdemeanor, varying degrees depending on what it is from.
Yeah. What do they fine them?
They would probably just fine them. And, but again, and right. So if you don't have it, if you're panhandling, for
right.
money, how do you enforce that? How do you fine them? And that's just it. And again, the numbers in past years show that they're very, very small numbers that they're dealing with here. I think it's, if you have a law in the books like this, it's probably to deal with the most severe or obvious cases, I would think. But again, they just passed it, and we're just going to have to monitor this to see how the city is going to use this, how police are going to use this, and if it's really going to make a difference. Because word did get out among the people who are panhandling that the city wasn't enforcing this. They just passed, again, this ordinance. Mm-hmm. People are still out there. They're still looking for money, sitting on sidewalks, perhaps going out into the street, some being more aggressive than others. And unless it's truly enforced, I think that's just going to continue to happen. And also advocates for people who are homeless or panhandling saying that they shouldn't be singled out, that the underlying problem of poverty has to be addressed, wages, all these other things, to really get a handle on the panhandling situation.
I wanted to talk about the homeless issue. Are panhandlers, is that mutually inclusive, that they are also homeless always?
They can be, but not necessarily.
I mean,
some people have homes to go back to. They're simply looking for money. There certainly is a drug situation out there, and people mm-hmm. are looking for money for drugs.
But all panhandlers aren't drug addicts either,
Not
right?
all panhandlers are drug addicts or are in situations like that. Some are simply hungry. Some have mental illnesses. That's a whole other situation that needs to be addressed, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's, of course, criminal records. So they can't get a job.
Criminal records. You know, many veterans out there, too. Certainly a number of homeless camps that are still in existence around the county. That's a whole other separate issue. But again, people who went down to city council at some of the hearings, again, were concerned that the city was trying to pass a panhandling ordinance because they say it doesn't, again, address the underlying issue, which, again, can be poverty, joblessness, homelessness, mental illness, addiction, all these other things.
What does city council say that success will look like with a law like this?
You know, I don't know. I'm trying to remember if they really discussed
what they want the outcome to be.
Right. I think the outcome would be that it becomes less visible, or people are less aggressive, or that other things are done to make sure that individuals are taken care of. But because there was a concern, especially in the Short North, but also downtown, that there were more incidents being reported, that people were being more aggressive, I think they're just looking at those incidents to decrease and for people to be less aggressive if it's enforced. If it's not enforced, then I don't know what changes there's really going to be.
Mark Ferencik, thanks for joining us today. I appreciate your time.
Sure, thank you.
Mark Ferencik, Columbus Dispatch reporter. He covers urban issues in the neighborhoods, and we've been talking about the panhandling issue. The Columbus City Council has passed a new ordinance aimed at halting aggressive panhandlers. Those are people who touch people on the street, who follow people, pedestrians along the sidewalks, who stand there while they're getting money out of their ATMs, who stand at highway and exits and entries illegally, but asking for money. So I want to hear what you think out there. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're going to hear from proponents and opponents of laws intended to restrict panhandling. So stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. Columbus City Council last month passed an ordinance that bans panhandlers from touching or following pedestrians and prohibits the panhandlers from asking for money near ATMs and at highway ramps and intersections. The city has tried to regulate panhandling in the past, but last June, the city attorney's office determined that Columbus's law then violated First Amendment rights. The new ordinance is expected to bypass this. Right now, this segment, I just want to hear from listeners about what you think about panhandlers. Are thumbs up, thumbs down? What do you think about passing a law to address them? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Ashley in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Ashley.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
Okay, well, I have a couple of things to say. I really appreciate being able to get off at a highway, like on my way to work or my way to school. And I usually have like an apple or a banana, granola bar, something on me that I can go ahead and roll down my window and give to them. And they have always been so thankful and so appreciative. And I've always had really great experiences. So it's something that I really like to do. Mm-hmm. And I would feel really bad if they had to pay a fine or something like that when it's so easy for me to be able to help them. And I guess I just haven't had any bad experiences, but yeah, I just don't think that they should be fined for that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's an interesting point you're making, that it doesn't, you know, when they're holding up signs saying anything helps, you're taking them at their word on that score.
Yeah, I mean, an apple, a piece of food, I don't think that that's necessarily going to hurt them. They're not buying drugs or anything with that. It's nutritious, so it's actually beneficial for them to be able to have these like fresh fruits and granola bars and things like that. So I feel like it's something that I can do to help, and I've just gotten back thanks, so I want to continue to be able to do that.
Well, I appreciate your call, Ashley. Thanks for letting us know.
Yeah, thank you.
Take care.
Have a good day.
You too. Let's see. I'm going to turn now to Tom in Clintonville. You're on the air. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to make a couple comments. One, I work up in the Dublin area, mm-hmm. and I see every day the same three people drive up in a car, park at the speedway, and they each get in their positions. The one guy, he'll bring his dog every once in a while and make his dog do tricks for people, trying to bait them into getting money. I think it's disgusting and just a horrible use of their time. I mean, I just don't get it. It's like a professional panhandler.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my comment. And then the other thing I'd like to do, I'd like to give a shout out to my friend Gary.
Okay.
Mama Bowie.
Okay. Thanks, Tom. 614-292-8513. We want to hear from listeners right now during this segment about what you think about panhandlers, what your experience is, and how you feel about the Columbus Ordinance. It's restricting what they identify as aggressive panhandling. That's where panhandlers touch pedestrians walking by. They follow them. They stand at ATMs waiting for them to withdraw money. They are at the highway ramps, on and off ramps, and at intersections. 614-292-8513. And Allie in Clintonville, you're on the air. Hi, Allie.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, and maybe you can help me out with some resources, and the previous caller touched on it before. I've been seeing a lot of panhandlers in like the suburbs, in like the Dublin area, and they always have animals with them. Is there, do you know of any type of organization that I could pass along for them to get their pets taken care of?
I don't know. That's a good question. And if anybody out there does know about something like that, give us a call. But I will say that a lot of food pantries now stock food for pets. So that can help. You know, the last caller, Allie, said that he sees people in Dublin with their pets making them do tricks and stuff like that. Have you seen that too?
Nothing about the tricks. I don't, I've never seen that before, but when I do help these people out, I usually ask whether or not their dog, has water and or food. If they don't, then I will go buy them a bag of food. and usually give them, like, I don't know, like $5 along with that food for them.
Gosh, Ellie, you are a nice person. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Of course.
You bet. Let's see. Jim in Dublin. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
Hi there. I live in the Dublin area, and I see quite a few people panhandling, and I must say it never bothers me. I think of, you know, the exception of if somebody was being violent in their asking, that's obviously something that would arouse me to call the police or something. But, you know, I feel for these people, and there's a guy with a dog out there, and I give them food. I give them money for food for themselves, food for their dog, and talk to them. Mm-hmm. I don't just hand them money. I talk to them. I ask them their name. I tell them my name. You know, try to actually have some sort of interaction with them. And I think the people that are against panhandling just need to have a sudden decrease in their annual paycheck and walk a day in those people's shoes, and you know, whether they want to do that or not, if they keep up their attitude, they will certainly do it, because there's an old thing called karma. It might not be an English word, but it works.
All right, Jim, thanks a lot for your call. I appreciate it.
I appreciate the program. Thank you.
You know, a lot of people don't think of Dublin as a place where we've been talking about, the short north. There's a really high concentration of population there. Dublin's getting a lot more pedestrian. I'm wondering if that is contributing to this. Let's see. Donna in Delaware, you're on the air. Hi, Donna.
Hi. Thanks for having the opportunity to speak. I'm really concerned that Columbus, I live in Delaware now, mm-hmm. but I've been in Columbus for over 40 years, Gahanna, Westerville, mm-hmm. east side of Columbus. I ran a veteran group home. Until we start addressing the full picture, we can't just point our finger at the panhandlers that are trying to get by. Yes, there's drug addiction. Yes, there's homelessness. But until we start looking at the whole picture, it's not going to go away, and we can't damn these people to hell because they're doing maybe the best they can do.
Donna, thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. Let's see. Sue in Columbus. Hi, Sue. You're on the air.
Hi, Ann.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, you know, everyone has their opinions, and to me, I see the issue as a lot of education. There are so many resources in Columbus. There's community action. There's 211. There are food pantries, clothing pantries. So many churches that, you know, extend their hands to help. There's community gardens. There's reentry coalitions. There's substance abuse. There's Medicaid. There are so many resources that these people just, you know, if they got connected, that would be really a big change right there.
Do you feel like the city or the county or whatever government subdivision you want to talk about doesn't do a good enough job connecting the dots on these things?
I'm not sure if it can be set up to one agency. If you look at all the agencies involved, everyone needs to take a part in it.
Okay.
You can't just say, well, Columbus City Council failed this, or Medicaid failed this, or Human Services failed this. There's just so many agencies, and it's just a matter of getting that information out there and be available for the people.
What kind of effect do you think something like the Columbus Ordinance will have?
I'm not sure it will. I mean, people will continue to do what they do, and, you know, until that information gets out there and, you know, people understand that, you know, like mental health, there's so many mental health providers that's out there. You know, getting them help to get that access.
Okay. Well, Sue, thanks a lot for your call. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. I'm now turning to Sean in Marion. Hi, Sean. You're on the air.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Oh, sure. There's been a lot of talk about special programs, and there are. I agree with the previous caller. Tons of nonprofit organizations, from churches to governmental, the counties. There's so many. I really feel for the folks who are stuck in that situation. I have folks that I know personally who've lost their home and things of that nature, so I can kind of feel for that. As a rule of thumb, we travel from Marion into the Columbus area pretty regularly, and my wife and I have kind of come to the conclusion that really giving money to these folks is really probably not the best option, because we don't know how they're going to spend that money. So we have started giving them food. One particular situation, we saw someone outside of Super Walmart on 23 near Polaris Boulevard, and we saw them, and they had a family. It was a woman and a guy and a kid. So we stopped into the Walmart, got a bag of groceries, non-perishables, macaroni and cheese and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And we basically gave them food because we want them to make sure that they eat. But at the same time, it's hard to trust that they're going to use the money that people give them for what they should be. Next to they're smoking or they're getting drugs or they're getting alcohol and so forth. They're not helping anything. But we, as a rule of thumb, we do not give them that. In fact, we've gone as far now as to make small kits, small tubes of toothpaste with toothbrushes. And we've even gotten like McDonald's certificates, things like that, for fast food places that we know that they're going to spend it there and they won't get change back because that's how they process. But I really feel for them, folks. And I feel for people in Columbus, too, because it seems to be more and more I'm seeing those folks. In areas that I wouldn't have before. So,
Sean, thanks a lot for your call. I appreciate it.
Not a problem, folks. Have a good day.
You too. Let's see. Heather in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Heather.
Heather in Dublin.
Oh, it's in Dublin. Okay. Hi, Heather in Dublin. We had a lot of Dublin callers today. Yeah. Go ahead, Heather.
I know. Yeah, it's been a big new issue, I noticed, in Dublin. People are showing up on corners and there's so much chatter on the next door.
Hey, Dublin, Heather, I don't know why, but when you're talking into your phone, it's like there's a blip going off.
Feedback. Yeah, I can hear it. I don't know how to fix it. My radio is off.
Okay.
The point is, I think it's really interesting. I don't think there's anything inherently good or bad about panhandling as a way of earning money, as a way of gathering money. And it takes really our opinion of it to make it a problem. I mean, it is as straightforward as it comes. We're all doing things for money.
Okay, so what you're saying is it's just somebody out. That's how they're making a living or making things, coping. It's people who are reacting to that is the problem.
Yeah, I mean, I think it takes calling it a problem to make it a problem. It's not inherently a problem, and I think what we really need to do is examine. I mean, I'm a therapist by trade, so the way I think is we have to examine what it brings up in us and take care of that bit and not make it a problem of the people who are finding a way to hustle and doing it in that particular way.
Heather, thanks a lot. I appreciate your give some food for thought. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, take care. Let's see. Who is next? It's Robert in Columbus. Hi, Robert. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi. Hey. My comment is really just like seems like a waste of resources. Like you're gonna find people, they're gonna come out with the police, and then you're gonna add a bill to people who obviously can't pay, and then you put them in the system, and it creates a self-perpetuating cycle where they're just gonna be constantly in debt and not able to work out of it. And again, you're burning resources from the city for something that's a passive act, if they're standing on the side of the road.
Well, but except that, this is to deal with aggressive panhandlers, people who follow people, people who touch people, waiting at the ATM and at the intersections and in the on and off ramps of the highways. But go ahead.
I think if it's going to be aggressive where they're touching, then you get into something that's different than panhandling.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If you want to hand someone something on the side of the road, and then someone's going to bring the police in. There's nothing else that they could be doing in Columbus other than putting people in yet more financial issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just seems like a self-perpetuating problem of debt that we waste time and money on.
Yeah, that did come up earlier with Mark Ferencik from the Dispatch, and we were both kind of scratching our heads over it. Is they're panhandling. What is fining going to do? Well, Robert, thank you so much for your call.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Let's see now. I think it is Mark in Columbus. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hello, Ann. Just a few very quick points. One is the last two Columbus City attorneys, I think, are basically afraid of their own shadow, have refused to enforce the laws and grossly misinterpreted what one federal district court judge ruled, which was that if a church has a food bank, you can't stop people from putting yard signs in their yard saying that there's a food bank at the church. It has nothing to do with panhandling. And
a lot of court decisions are then interpreted and applied to other kinds of situations. But go ahead, Mark.
An extreme interpretation. And if for some reason enforce the law, if some other federal, there's no rhyme or reason to what these federal district judges do. They're all over the place. But if for some reason they say the city statute doesn't quite meet it, well, then they can just rewrite it and change a couple words and enforce it again and do it over and over and protect us. The other thing is a lot of municipalities have peddling licenses for people that sell Amway and things like that door to door.
No, the solicitation rules. Yeah.
Yeah. They could have a panhandler's license, which it would have a name tag on it. It would be registered with the city so you'd know who it is. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have people slipping around. And you would also have the provision that they have random drug and alcohol tests, so people who gave money to them would have confidence that they're substance abuse free. You don't want to give money to people to abuse, but you have no idea right now because you don't know if they're going to use it to buy drugs or alcohol or if they're legitimately just trying to buy food and clothes. That's and that would be a way to simplify it. So just a thought. Mm-hmm. And police, real quick, police are very reluctant to pick people up, whether there is a law or not, or whether it's enforced or not, because the judges almost always release them. The prosecutors slap them on the wrist. And a lot of these people, the police feel they're carrying MRSA and infectious diseases, and they do not want to risk themselves or their families for picking up someone who's never going to be prosecuted, who might communicate a disease to them. So they don't want to deal with this.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mark. We are going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to hear from, you know, two different points of view from organizations that represent and respond to the needs of people who are homeless and who do make up some percentage of the panhandling community. So stay with us. I still want to hear what our listeners think. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. Columbus recently enacted an ordinance that regulates so-called aggressive panhandling, banning panhandlers from asking for money at ATMs, highway ramps and intersections, and from touching or following pedestrians. These types of ordinances have emerged across the country. A Sacramento, California ordinance was overturned in April when a judge found it infringed on First Amendment rights. The current Columbus ordinance was enacted to get around that problem. Sacramento Regional Coalition to End Homelessness was the plaintiff in the case against the city. Joining us by phone is Bob Erlenbush. He's executive director of the Sacramento Regional Coalition to End Homelessness. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ann.
Also joining us is Capital Crossroads Special Improvement District Deputy Director of Operations, Lisa Diefendiefer. She manages their homeless outreach program. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Bob Erlenbush, your organization claimed that the Sacramento ordinance violated First Amendment rights. Could you explain, you know, we had a caller on a few minutes ago that said he doesn't think First Amendment rights have anything to do with this. Can you explain why that has become an issue?
Yes. Since 2015, about 10 to 12 all federal cases have ruled in favor of overturning aggressive panhandling laws as a violation of the First Amendment. So even though the city council in Sacramento City Council in November of last year passed it, we warned them that, you know, that they were going against the tide of federal decisions. And so we met with our lawyers, the Legal Services of Northern California and the ACLU of Northern California. And just a few days ago, July 5th, the judge agreed with our lawyers' arguments that it was a infringement on First Amendment rights of people, for people to ask for money from people who are passing by.
And how do you define aggressive panhandling?
We didn't.
How does the city? How did the city in this case? What do we mean by that in Sacramento?
Generally, some of the things I was listening, you know, some of the things that are already illegal. You can't, and that was part of our point to the city council, that they sort of ignored, that there are already laws on the books that say you can't follow somebody and touch somebody, either at an ATM or a store or at an intersection or a bus, bus stop, et cetera, et cetera. So all of those things that sort of behavior-wise were classified as aggressive, there's already laws on the books that say you can't do that anyway.
Lisa Devendiefer, what about that? I mean, what are your expectations for a law like this that, you know, does something like singles people out for touching, for following, for standing at an ATM, that kind of a thing? I mean, how do you see success when it comes to an ordinance like this?
Well, I think it's important to realize we're talking about behavior and that it's linked to someone asking for money. That's, I guess, another issue. We are concerned, at least downtown in our community, that people feel very intimidated when they're stopped, when their sidewalk's blocked, when someone grabs them after they've indicated they did not want to give. So I think a success is just... this is only one tool in kind of a toolbox. So I think enforcement needs to be an option when behavior is very much out of line and aggressive and intimidating. But I also think that we also need to provide other services like homeless outreach services. So if a panhandler is experiencing homelessness, that we can, you know, address that issue as well. And then I know some earlier callers had mentioned the value in community-wide education and, mm-hmm. and educating people not to give, but to give to organizations that help people get off the street. So my feeling, and I think the SID's feeling has always been, is it's really the behavior that we're concerned about, not so much that they're asking for money. It's just intimidating, aggressive behavior.
614-292-8513 if you have a question or comment. We did ask earlier about people who have pets with them, and Dee in Clintonville, you can address that. Hi, Dee, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Listen, I just wanted to let your listeners know that there is an organization that helps not only the homeless people, but senior citizens and veterans that have pets, and it's called Faithful Forgotten Best Friends, and they provide food and veterinary clinics. They're based in the Franklinton area,
Okay. And
I just think that, and they're 501c3, so if anybody would either like to volunteer or contribute to them, and the OSU Vet School provides the vet care.
Okay.
So I just think it's a great organization, and it is a resource for people that need help with their animals.
All right. Dee, thank you so much for responding to that query. I appreciate it. We'll post a link to that website on our website at wosu.org/allsides. Bob Erlenbush, other homeless organizations supported the ordinance in Sacramento, and I was trying to figure out what the difference is between your organization and the other ones. What's the distinction there?
I wasn't aware that other homeless organizations supported the ordinance.
Oh.
We had two other plaintiffs with us, the Sacramento Homeless Organizing Committee, and then a homeless activist, James Clark, who was also a plaintiff.
Okay, I'm sorry.
If there were homeless organizations that supported it, I'm not aware of it.
Okay. Sorry about that. I was misinformed.
Okay.
Some organizations advise people against giving to panhandlers and suggest they donate to organizations that help the homeless.
Right.
What about that?
I am not a supporter of that. I do a lot of public speaking, I always tell people, because I get the question inevitably, what should I do about, you know, somebody's asking me for money? And if you're going to give money with a clear conscience that you're not going to turn around and say, oh, I know that person's going to go buy a beer with it. They, you know, they lied to me. They're not going to go buy diapers or, you know, aspirin or buy some food or whatever, then don't do it. I think that that equally infringes upon people's right to give from their heart if they're so inclined.
Lisa, we were trying to figure out, Mark Ferenchuk and I, how you see success with something like this, how you define success with an ordinance like this. What are you shooting for here?
Well, we shoot for the numbers of complaints related to aggressive panhandling going down, of course. I did want to follow up, if I may,
sure,
on the question that you had asked Bob about discouraging people from giving. And I totally get that folks still want to give, and we're not going to stop that totally. But what we do say downtown, and there's a lot of people in the Columbus community are so generous, and they really want to make a difference and feel like they make a difference. And sometimes that is just giving somebody a couple bucks. But what we're trying to emphasize is the value in reaching out to our SID, our homeless hotline, and our hotline ourselves for the SID, the 228-5718 number, is that if they call that number, we can take the time to send an outreach specialist out there and talk to the individual and get to know them and connect that person to services, whether it's that day, whether it's, you know, maybe the person's ready to take advantage of services down the road. But it's somebody that can spend, has the luxury of spending time with an individual and can do a lot more than that $2 might do that day. So that's what we're trying to get across to folks, is that we have two full-time outreach specialists. We, thus far this year, have helped 75 people get off the street. We've gotten about 40% into shelter, another 60% into permanent housing, and we're really effective at what we do. And that's what we're really trying to get across, is, you know, if you do really want to make a difference in the person's life that you're encountering, please call us and we will take the time to engage.
But all panhandlers are not homeless.
You're absolutely right. And it depends on the neighborhood, too. We did a survey last year where we expected to see a lot more people who were not experiencing homelessness actually panhandling. But we did find last year about 70% of the people who were panhandling downtown regularly were actually experiencing homelessness. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody who's homeless is panhandling, because that's, I think, a lot of confusion around that. But downtown, at least, there's a fair number of folks who are addicted to opiates, among other things, who are experiencing homelessness and are panhandling.
Kim in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Kim.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
Good. I just wanted to call about, I'm not trying to go back to the Dublin issue, but I do want to say I'll stop and help anybody who has a dog. And I've made friends with one of the panhandlers in Dublin, and he's given me some good advice that I wanted to share. Panhandlers
We've lost Kim. I'm sorry about that, Kim, but something happened with the reception. Mike in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Mike.
Hi, yeah. I think we were just talking about outreach programs, and I've never really seen anything good at connecting homeless or panhandlers with jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about the lack of seasonal employees last hour.
Right.
I feel like there's an opportunity missed there with connecting panhandlers or homeless people with seasonal work. So I don't know if can comment on that.
I think that's a really good question. Bob Erlenbush, what are your thoughts about that kind of thing?
Well, I'm glad that you asked the question. Actually, we have a homeless employment program here in Sacramento, and I really believe that part of the answer, as the other person was talking about, I think Lisa, is affordable housing. But people also need a livable income to be able to pay the rent. So we did a survey of about 400 homeless people in Sacramento a couple of years ago, and 90% were unemployed, and 90% wanted to go back to work. So I really believe, and 40% had some sort of job skill, whether it was plumbing, electrical work, woodwork, et cetera. So I really do believe that, you know, a really assertive employment program for homeless people can complement a housing first strategy.
Yeah. Lisa? Same?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. When we were conducting our surveys last year again with the panhandlers, 50% of the respondents indicated that they would love to have a job. And that was one of our recommendations, actually, when we provided testimony at City Council, was that it's a multi-pronged approach to address panhandling. And a jobs program, you know, day labor type.
A jobs program, a transportation program, a housing program. These are all pieces of a larger.
Absolutely.
A larger solution. Let's see. Mike, thanks for that call. Katie and Galloway, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I was just calling to respond to a few of the other callers I've called before, and I think your guest just replied to that a little bit, is that we can have all the programs we can think of and develop, but if they don't have a way to access them, so transportation to get there.
Yeah.
And also someone to help them navigate. The one caller talked about Medicaid and like veterans assistance. And I know for my father, who's a veteran, if it wasn't for my brother and I being able to help him and navigate and pay for a lawyer, that he may very well have been homeless if he was on his own, because that type of programming is not there. I teach social justice in high school, and this is a lot of what we talk about. I'm not in support of aggressive panhandlers, but there's people who, if they could pull themselves together that well to be able to do all that, they probably wouldn't be homeless. They probably wouldn't be panhandling. Right. But the reality of that isn't really there for most people to understand what they face, whether it's mental illness or other even physical illnesses that they deal with. Like my father deals with dementia. And we always think about that when we're going through the red tape and the loops of the government. Where would he be if it wasn't right. for us?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Katie, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We are out of time. I want to say thanks to Bob Erlenbush for joining us all the way from Sacramento, California. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Bob Erlenbush, Executive Director of Sacramento Regional Coalition to End Homelessness. And also with us here in the studio is Lisa Diefendiefer. She is with the Capitol Crossroads Special Improvement District. She's Deputy Director of Operations and Advocacy. She manages their homeless outreach program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks to the All Sides staff, assistant producer Kyle McKinnon, producer Mary Lee Williams, All Sides interns Martin Coleman, Alexander Havolchik, Scott Good, and Ray Brewster, who happened to have produced this program, with video production by Rich Blue and Amber Blue. Alan DeCenzo is a composer of our theme music. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.